That ended abruptly. Good afternoon. My name is Anthony. I'm here at Fellowship Church. We are so thrilled that you are here on this brisk October day. If you're joining us online, we want to welcome you as well. We have people from all over the country join us each and every week, and we are thrilled to have you as a part of our church. And if we can minister to you or reach out to you in any way, please let us know. We want to serve you and help you grow. I am going to get started on our message here in a bit, but if you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5 off and on for the next 4 weeks throughout this series that we're starting today, Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. And if you don't have a Bible, we will have verses up on the screen behind me. If you are at home, those verses will be up for you. And if you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can follow along. If you go to events and then Fellowship Church, all the verses we go through in order will be there as well. But we're starting a series today called Closet Christian. And last week, we wrapped up a three-week series called Not Me. And at the beginning of this series, Not Me, we spent a lot of time focusing on what we weren't talking about. And so in this series, Not Me, we were not poking fun at something called the Me Too movement. In the series, Not Me, we were not talking about trying to put off responsibilities and blame other people for things that maybe we have done. Instead, we were talking about choosing to stand out for Jesus instead of fitting in with our culture, choosing to stand up instead of bowing down to worship the things in our culture. And so when the world would say that we should do things a certain way, we would just simply say, not me, I choose to follow Jesus. And we're going to kind of play off that series in this series, Closet Christian, that we're starting today. And the reason I brought up that Not Me series is because I also want to say what we're not talking about when we're talking about this idea of being a closet Christian. First of all, is that we are not poking fun at, or making light of the idea of coming out of the closet. That is something that we're not trying to reference or tease or make fun of, because we know that that might be a subject or an issue that might be very sensitive to some of you and bring up all sorts of emotions, and that is not something we would ever take lightly or make fun of. But instead, we're talking about the way that we hide things. This idea of hiding things in the closet has been around a lot longer than the phrase coming out of the closet has been a kind of a home or household used phrase or term or word. And so we're just talking about the things that we hide in our proverbial closet. That's what we're going to take some time to focus on for the next 4 weeks. And before I talk about what it means to have something in the closet, before I talk about what it means to be a closet Christian, I'd like to give you an announcement real briefly as well. I know Tim gets all the fun and gets to give all the announcements, but I'd like to give one, if I may. Starting this Tuesday night at 6:30, we are starting a class. We're also starting small groups this week, by the way. If you want to sign up, it's not too late. But we're starting a class here at Fellowship Church Tuesday nights at 6:30. It's going to be an 8-week class. We're going to take off the week of Thanksgiving, and we're going to wrap up a couple weeks before Christmas, and so there'll be plenty of time for holiday cheer outside of this class. But Tuesday at 6:30, probably go to about 8 at the latest every single week, and that class is just called Growth 101. And it's just simply the basics of Christianity. I will be teaching that class, and I shared last week that people always ask me to teach classes, and sometimes I will say, okay, I will teach a class, and the people that hounded me for weeks or months or years to teach a class are the ones that don't show up. And so there's no pressure to come to this class, but if you ask me to teach a class, there's a lot of pressure for you to show up. And so Growth 101, 6:30 this Tuesday, and again, 8 weeks. I promise it will be very informal. It will be very informational. It'll be a conversation, a discussion. You can ask any question that your heart desires. There's no such thing as a dumb question. And we're just going to walk through the basics of Christianity. And if you're resistant to that and say, well, I already know the basics of Christianity, I would propose to you that you probably don't, first of all. And each time I teach a class like this, I learn a ton. And I would propose as well, there's really no such thing as the basics of Christianity. There's always stuff to learn. There's always ways that we can grow. And so that class will be held in the lobby. We'll have some chairs set up for you. There won't be food, so bring some. If you want to eat at that class, that's cool. If you get off work, need to eat dinner, you're welcome to eat there as long as you share with me. And bring your own drinks, coffee. It's just going to be a very informal, fun time. Tuesday, 6:30. I'd encourage you to be there. That's my announcement. With all that being said, we're talking about this idea of being a closet Christian. And so what does that mean to live life in the closet? Now, I'll introduce this idea of what it means to me. I like a clean house. I like having a clean house. And to be honest, probably way too much I like having a clean house. And if you've ever seen the show Full House, I'm basically Danny Tanner when it comes to having a house clean and in order and nice and neat. And if I know that someone's going to be coming over to my house, the ductwork better be clean. The attic better be clean. I want to make sure the crawl space is clean in case someone wants to look under there. It needs to be a very clean house. And I feel really bad for my wife and kids because this is a difficult thing to live with, to be very passionate about having a clean house. Now, here's something I'm not passionate about. I'm not passionate about you having a clean house. If I'm invited over to your home and if your house is just a mess or if you're like a hoarder, that's fine. I don't care. Honestly, it doesn't bug me. It doesn't matter to me, but it matters to me if my house is out of order. And I've come to recognize after about 20 years of marriage that that's on me. If I want my house to be clean, I clean it up. And then passive-aggressively ask my family to do it. I'm kidding. Kind of. So, but this is something that, like, people like clean houses. And so the question is, what do you do when someone comes over to your house unannounced? When you don't have time to clean up your house, what do you actually do about that? And here's what you do. You grab everything as fast as you can and you shove it in the closet, right? Shove stuff in the closet so no one can see because people are coming over. We don't want them to think we live like normal people who have real messes and real stuff. So hide all of our stuff. Like, hide the remote control, hide the pillow. Like, everything's got to be perfect. You hide stuff in a closet, and it all works well until the guest has to go to the bathroom, and they don't know where your bathroom is, and they think that your closet door is the bathroom door, and they open that up, and it's like, oh, everything comes crashing down, and your persona of cleanliness has just been destroyed. We had a staff retreat for our staff here at the church this week, and I was staying in this basement bedroom at a house that we were at. It was pitch black. And I had to use the restroom in the middle of the night. And if you ever stayed the night at a place and you forget how the room's laid out when you wake up in the middle of the night, and it was so dark I couldn't see where the door was so I could use the bathroom. And so I was like literally like hands and knees trying to find out where the door was. And finally, by the grace of God, I got through. Thank God I didn't like go into the closet and think that was the bathroom. But sometimes we hide stuff in closets and we don't want anybody to see. And so there's things that we all hide. There's this other cultural term that we use where if you have personal secrets or if your family has personal secrets, you'll hide those things in the closet, and we actually have a name for that. That's called a skeleton in the closet. So people hide all sorts of stuff. We hide our shortcomings. We hide our failures. We hide our past. We hide our sins. We hide our mistakes. And we lock those things up in a closet so that no one can see. And so we all have stuff we shove into closets so that no one can see because we're just embarrassed by those things. But what this series is going to be about, this series is not going to be about hiding bad things in our closets and needing to walk open and authentically with our problems, which that's true. This series is actually going to be about hiding good things in our closets. We actually hide good things as well as bad things. I can give you a case in point, and this is something you don't see a lot, but every once in a while I will be friends with someone or do life with someone, and I'll find out that they're like really good at something. I'll find out that they have had some great achievements in life or have a particular kind of degree or job or skill. And I'll be like, wow, I didn't know that about you. Why didn't you tell me? And they'll be like, I just wanted to stay humble. And that's a good thing. But sometimes we hide good things out of the reason of staying humble. And you can still be humble while celebrating some accomplishments you've had. And so if you've had interesting things in your life, I always like to know about those things. Sometimes people hide good things like their marriage. You might go out of town for a business trip. You might go into a restaurant or a bar and actually take off your wedding ring because you want to hide that you're married because you want to make it look like you're available to someone else. And so we hide bad things, but we also hide good things. Hide our family, hide our husband, our wife, our skills, our talents, and our abilities. But of the things that we hide, in particular of the good things that we hide, there's actually one good thing that I think we as the church hide more than any other thing. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've been saved by his grace, if you've got faith in Jesus, If the Spirit of God's living inside of you, if you're a Christian, if you will, there are things that we hide in our closets as Christians, and one of the things that we hide, I forgot my notes, I was like, I'm going to come down and sit down and share the rest of this message down below, but one of the things that we hide is just our faith. We hide our faith in Jesus, and we're going to look at in this series, like, why would we hide our faith in Jesus Christ? If we hide all of these bad things, and if sometimes we hide good things that we shouldn't hide, why would we hide our faith in Jesus? And so that last series, what was it about? It was all about choosing to stand out instead of fitting in. Choosing to stand out instead of fitting in. We need to stand out. We need to stand out as a light for Jesus Christ in the dark and fading world in which we live in. And so why would we try to hide that amongst other people? And so here's the key verse I asked you to look up. It's Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. This is the verse we'll read each and every week of this series. And then we're going to break down four things that we hide that we've actually been called to live out. This week, myself and a guest speaker I'll introduce in just a minute, we're going to talk about testimony. Next week, my friend Nathan Weber, he's here with us right now this afternoon. He's going to be with us next week. He's going to speak on prayer and how we can live out our faith with prayer. And then I will come wrap up the series with a look at the name of Jesus and how that is a way we can get out of our proverbial closets with our faith. And the final week, we'll look at living out our purpose. But today we're going to talk about testimony, but before we do, I want to look at Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. It says here, this is Jesus speaking. This is taking place during what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." So if you're a follower, a disciple of Jesus, you are the light of the world. He says, "A city on a hill cannot be hidden." He says, people don't light a lamp and then put that lamp under the basket. Instead, they need to put that lamp on a stand because there the lamp will give light to everybody in the house. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. In 1942, during the Second World War in the city of Los Angeles, the city called for an absolute blackout within the city. Turn off all your lights. And the reason that the city called for a blackout is because there was an air raid siren that started to go off within the city of Los Angeles because there was a purported air raid coming by Imperial Japan. And Los Angeles did not want to become the next Pearl Harbor on the island of Oahu, and so they shut down all the lights. They had the air raid sirens go off. If you want to read about this in history, it's called the Battle of Los Angeles, 1942. Incredible story. But they tried to hide the city. Now, how many of you have ever been to Los Angeles before? Even in 1942, Los Angeles was a very large city, and if you've ever been to Los Angeles, you would know there is no hiding Los Angeles. There's something we call light pollution, where you can see a city from far away because the lights emanate from that city and block out the stars. And so you can see the light pollution, even though it is a beautiful thing, you can see the light pollution from the city of Los Angeles from 100 miles away. You can start to see an aura of light over the horizon. And so if you've been to Los Angeles and if you know how hard it would be to hide that city, I just want to tell you it's hard to hide a city. Especially if a city is lit up, it's impossible to hide. And a city on a hill is incredibly difficult to hide. But so many of us do this. So many of us, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, with the grace of God having transformed our lives, we try to make our faith unnoticeable and we keep it inside of our closets. Just like you would try to hide a city, we try to hide the light that's inside of us. We try to keep our walk with Jesus hidden in a closet where if we were truly living our faith out and out of the abundance of the Holy Spirit living within us, the light of Jesus within you, your walk with Jesus Christ, your faith in Christ should be undeniable. It would burn so brightly that everyone around you should be able to see. And so Jesus says, you don't turn on a lamp and then put a basket over it. He says, that doesn't make sense. The purpose of the lamp is to light up the whole room. So why would you try to actually cover it up? But this is what we do. So many of us turn on the light of Jesus. We put faith in him. We receive his grace. We receive salvation through Jesus. We turn on the light of salvation. And then we put a basket over the light that we have in Jesus because we're afraid of other people finding out about it. And so we want to hide our faith. And maybe it's not even intentionally, but maybe a light comes on and you still put a basket over your faith, even though you've turned that light on and you want the light to shine. But there's things you do that are actually putting baskets on your faith. One of the reasons is so many of us just don't ever choose to grow in Christ. We never allow ourselves to grow and mature in our relationship with Jesus. Many of us, we look so much like the rest of the world, it's like we're just putting a basket over our lamp. Many of us, we just fit in so much that it's, again, it's like having a basket over the light that is supposed to shine. And without intentionally do so, we're hiding our faith. But if our light is not visible, if our light is not shining before others, and if our light is not producing within us good works, and we're not bringing glory to God with our lives like we've been saved and called to do, and others are actually missing out on the light that we have within the darkness. And so we need to choose to live out our faith publicly, boldly, vocally, so that people can see who we are in Christ. Now, because we live in America and it's the 21st century, some of you think that that means we need to share our political stances on things. We need to share where we stand on all these social issues. And I would just tell you, maybe sometimes, but that's not our issue. Our issue is Jesus. We need to let the grace, the love, and the hope of Jesus shine through, not politicize things, not try to make them conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican, but just simply let us show who Jesus is to us and what he's done in our lives. Let's choose not to hide those things under a basket, but instead to put those things up on to a table so that everybody could see. And so, why do we hide our faith? Why do we hide the hope that we have within us? Why do we hide the light of Jesus? If we have the Spirit of God living abundantly in us, why would we not want people to know? Well, there's a couple reasons. I think, number one, I think we have bought into the lie that our faith is supposed to be personal. That our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's personal. You keep it to yourself, and you don't allow your faith to affect your public behavior. You can just turn on the news for an hour and you hear that talked about all the time. Your faith should not impact your public behavior, but Jesus was all about our faith impacting our public behavior. And so we bought into the lie in America that faith is personal and not to be spoken of, when faith is in fact something that should and is supposed to and will naturally on its own stand out. So many of us, we put baskets over the light of our faith. We hide our faith in Jesus Christ in a closet because we are afraid of what other people will think about us. We are afraid of people find out what we believe, that they will want to debate us about what it is we believe. We're afraid of losing our career. We're afraid of losing our status. We're afraid of losing our family. And we're afraid of losing advancement in our careers. We're afraid of all these things. Here's something that hit close to home for me when I was putting this message together, is that many of us hide our faith in the closet because we're afraid of people finding out we're Christians. And the reason why we're afraid of people finding out that we are Christians is because then people will actually have higher expectations of us. And so if I can hide my faith in Jesus, no one will expect anything of me. That's wrong thinking. If we are walking out openly and vocally, with grace and love and hope, the light that is Jesus Christ, walking out our faith outside of our proverbial closets that we hide in, that will change how people think about you. And Jesus says, if your light shines, people will see your good works. And he says, they're not going to give glory to you because that's not the purpose. He says, they'll give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so the light of Jesus working through us just points people back to the Father to give him glory. Some people are afraid of sharing their faith because they're afraid of actual persecution, and some people are even afraid of death. But again, if we're meant to stand out, and if we're not meant to fit in, and if we were meant to live out our faith in Christ, and if we were meant to do it openly, publicly, boldly, and vocally, then we should shine that light. If we have a light, we ought to shine it. We're not supposed to selfishly and cruelly leave that light to ourselves, and we're not supposed to keep that faith hidden inside of our closets for none to see. So I believe that our faith should be visible and tangible and known and actually spoken about. So we want to encourage people, open your closet doors and let the light that you have in Jesus shine before others so that it brings him glory and it helps others in the dark. Here's one more verse we'll look at probably every week of this series. And that verse is found in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus talking again about discipleship, talking about following him. He says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 25, if anyone should come after me, if anybody wants to be my disciple, if anybody wants to follow me, if anybody wants to live this Jesus life, you're supposed to shine your faith, but some of you are walking in fear. He says, if any of you want to come after me, you need to deny yourself. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul or himself? So Jesus is saying, you want to follow me, it means you follow me no matter what the cost. If you want to follow me, you follow me no matter what the price is. You want to follow me, you follow me no matter what your fears may be. If you want to follow me, you follow me even if it causes pain. If you want to follow me, you follow me no matter what the sacrifice may be. And he says, even if that sacrifice is your life, take up your cross and follow me. Because if you're willing to lose it all for Jesus, and if you actually do lose it all for Jesus, Jesus says, you'll gain everything in me. But if we refuse to let go of our life, if we refuse to be willing to let it all go, and if we choose to keep our faith hidden inside of our closets out of fear of what we could lose, Jesus says, everything's going to be lost. You're going to lose your own soul. And we often stop there where Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And we don't read verse 26 of chapter 9. He says this. He says, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So we can't keep our faith in Christ locked away in our closets due to embarrassment, fear, or shame. We are supposed to love our Savior. We're supposed to be grateful for our Savior. We are to be proud of our Savior and not ashamed of him. We're supposed to be celebrating his goodness. We're supposed to be speaking his truth. And we're supposed to be shining his light in our lives and not just in church. A lot of you, the only place you live your faith out publicly is in church, as if that's really making an impact. We've been called to live out our faith in every place, every circumstance, everywhere that we go. In all circumstances, we are to live out this faith. And as Jesus himself said, let his light shine. So it's not just something we do at church. It's not just something we do in the closet. And it's not just something that we do when Jesus returns. Like Jesus is coming back. Let's look busy. But instead, we live this life day in and day out, every day, everywhere, all circumstances. That's kind of the intro to this series, and we're going to shift what we're doing. I would propose to you that the number one way you can live your faith out publicly, the number one way that you can live your faith outside of your proverbial closet, the number one way that you can let your light shine is through your testimony. Your testimony is God's story in your story and how that affects other people's stories. And God wants to take your trials, God wants to take your tests, he wants to turn them into testimony so that you can testify of his goodness, his grace, his love, the hope that you have in him. Those things are your story, and they're God's story that's joined with your story that you have been called to share. So your testimonies are one of the greatest ways you can stand out instead of fitting in. And we have a dear young lady in our church. Her name is Allie Lehman, and her and I have been working together for the last couple of months as she's preparing to go out on missions full-time somewhere wherever God is calling her into this world. And she said, Anthony, can you help me learn to put a message together so that that way I can share when I go and speak before people as I'm sharing the gospel? And so we've been working on putting messages together. And I said, Allie, I want you to share your testimony, and I want you to share how your testimony is a way that you can live your faith openly outside of the closet. And so I've introduced the series, but Allie's going to talk to you today about testimony. Can you give her a hand?
Hi, my name is Allie Lehman. As Anthony talked about, he and I have been meeting every week because I did reach out to him. I was like, how can I effectively communicate the gospel? Because it's something I want to be good at. It's something that I want to be able to take into the nations and say, yeah, I kind of know how to teach. Maybe let me share with you. So he and I have been working really hard together. He's been teaching me really great things, and I'm really excited to share a piece of my heart with you today. Something that you should know about me, as Anthony talked about, is my love for missions. I know that I have already dedicated my whole entire life to it. I know that it is what God has called me to do. But my love for missions began a couple years ago. So I graduated high school early, and I went on to go to an organization called Youth with a Mission. Youth with a Mission is known for one school called a discipleship training school, which is a six-month program, and I'll tell you about that in a second. They also train missionaries, they send out missionaries, and they provide bases around the world for missionaries to live at, to do missions, to minister to the people around them and in their community. They really just provide a place for missionaries to be and an outlet for them to do missions. So I got to go do a DTS, which is a discipleship training school, at Youth with a Mission here in Salem. And so this is a six-month program, and for the first 3 months, you get to learn about God, learn about the Bible, learn about God's character, grow in intimacy with Him. And then you get to take all that knowledge and that love you're pursuing and take it across the world into the nations. Where I got to go is I got to go to Thailand. So I spent another 3 months on the second part of my DTS going to Thailand, which was really great because God made me a promise before I even thought about going to Youth with a Mission that I would go to Thailand. So I got to see Him fulfill that promise. It was really beautiful. So because I spent 3 months in Thailand, I got to learn a lot about the Buddhist culture. Thailand is a Buddhist nation. What I really got to experience in Thailand was the hurt that came from the Buddhist religion. You see, Buddhism, it promises love, but what they don't talk about is the expectation there is to be perfect. They believe in good karma, and they believe in bad karma. They believe that if you collect all this good karma, you will be reincarnated into a new life. So there's an endless cycle put on you to be good and perfect all the time so that you can be reincarnated again and again into this cycle of eternal life. And we as Christians believe in eternal life as well. However, it looks different because we don't believe in reincarnation. So what a better way to share Jesus than to talk about this promise of eternal life with the freedom of expectation. And one day, specifically, my team and I were in the east of Thailand in this place called Maha Sathakam. We were partnering with a ministry where you walk around local colleges and you openly talk to people about their faith, talk to people about what they believe in, talk about who they are and what they're studying, what do they want to do with their life, and just really get to know the community that is Maha Sathakam. And there was one day where I and my teammate and a woman who fluently spoke Thai, we were walking around and we walked through a courtyard. And this was where typically students had lunch. So I walked over to this girl because I felt God stop me and point her out to me. So I walked over to her, and in the little Thai that I knew, I asked her if she spoke any English. And it was so awkward because this girl, she wouldn't even acknowledge me. She wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't look at me. She just laughed at any Thai that I tried to speak to her. And Thai is a complicated language, so I was probably saying something wrong. And our contact later explained to us that she had never been approached by a white person before, so she was nervous to be approached by us. But when she finally settled to the idea that these two white women were not going to leave her alone, she began to open up about the burdens that her family put on her because she was the only person in her family to go to college. How the expectations were so hard to keep up with. How these perfections weighed her down. All she had time to do was study and go to school and work. There was no room in her schedule for going out with her friends and hiking and exploring like she talked about loving to do. And in that moment of just listening to her talk about how she goes to a Buddhist shrine to beg Buddha for studies or for favor in her studies, she became this girl who was stubborn and shy in my eyes to being a wounded woman who was looking for someone to say, hey, you're doing a good job. I'm proud of you, and you are enough. When I recognized how much pain this girl was actually carrying, I felt like God was asking me to share about the freedom from expectations that he had given to me. So I got to tell this Thai girl about this new God, a God that was all about freedom, all about saying he believes in you, all about guiding you through the stresses of your everyday life, and a God that never stops showing up. And I'm going to do something with you all today where I am extremely vulnerable because I believe that there is power in vulnerability. I got to share with this girl about a season in my life where I faced relationship abuse, how I was made to feel like I was less than a human, about the unrealistic expectations that were put on me, about the shame that that person made me carry and how much it took away from me. But then I got to share with her about the best part of it all, the God who rescued me. The God that came in and said, hey, you are enough. I am proud of you, and I have more for you than this. There was transformation in this girl who at first wouldn't even acknowledge me, but now was actively engaged in conversation with what I was saying to her. And she didn't accept Jesus in that time, but she went from not knowing him at all to knowing about the active pursuit and relationship that he has with her, about the sacrifices that he has made specifically for her. And I got to plant a seed in her head that day that says, I am enough. There is someone out there who believes in me, who carries that same struggle that I do. She allowed me to pray for her, and we separated. Today I'm going to talk to you about how important it is to share your testimony. I'm going to tell you about why it's important. I'm going to tell you about why it's so hard to share it. And I'm going to tell you, I forgot my last point. That's embarrassing. I'm going to tell you about why it's important, why it's so hard to share it, and how we do share it. There it is. I carry no shame in the way that God worked in my life, and I am so proud of it. My testimony is the most beautiful story that I have ever heard because it is how I came into relationship with the one true God. And when I share my story, I tell about the transformation that occurred in my life because I was someone who was just floating through everyday life. And I had dug myself so deep into a hole of sadness and hatred for the world, and I have never thought that I would get out. And now God is planning some crazy things in my life, and he has called me to do these full-time missions, and I never thought that I would ever be this person. And now I am the happiest person in the world because God is doing things in me that are so incredible, and I am so excited for. I am not the only person that God has transformed and brought into a better life. The Apostle Paul, who was originally Saul, was a man who persecuted Christians. He sent men and women into prison. and he actively sought out Christians to put them to death. And then Saul became Paul, and he went on to write the next 13 books of the Bible. And if that isn't transformation, then I don't know what is. I'm going to read to you Acts 9:15 through 16. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." In this passage, God reveals Paul's purpose, and he says that he is chosen to tell people about him. And later in Acts 22, Paul shares his testimony with a crowd of people in Jerusalem. He tells a story about when he was nearing Damascus, a bright light flashed from heaven, and God called out, "Why are you persecuting me?" He said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, and why are you persecuting me?" He said that this light was so bright that it blinded him for 3 days, and then he was healed. And although these people didn't respond the way that Paul had hoped they would, he still defended God. And isn't that all that God asks of us? To confess with our mouths that he is Lord? But here's the most wonderful thing that Paul did. Paul planted a seed in every one of their heads in that crowd that said, maybe he's not crazy. Maybe he's speaking the truth. Maybe Jesus is the God for us. Your testimony may mean a lot between you and God, and I'm sure that it does. But when you share it, it allows other people to be involved in this story that you've built. And I'm going to say that again because it's really important. When you share your testimony, you plant a seed or you water one that's already there that allows God to work. And not that he wasn't already before, but now there is a thought going on inside of their head that says, maybe I want that relationship too. Maybe that story you just told me, maybe I want that too. One of the biggest ways that the Holy Spirit works is through other people. And it's a very real possibility that God has you sharing your story specifically with that person because they are going through the same situation as you, and they need to hear about the way that God transformed your life so that he can do it for them. And maybe, just maybe, they will step out into the person and the plan that God has called them to do and to be. Your testimony has the power to change the course of everything. You just have to share it. And if sharing how God worked is so important, then why don't we do it? It's hard, and it's scary. And those are very real things that we face every day that keep us from doing things that we should be doing. It's very hard to openly confess your faith, and it's very scary. When I was in Youth with a Mission, we partnered with a ministry called Gospel Guy. Gospel Guy is a team of people that hang out in downtown Salem in the streets. We just walk around and talk to people. Sometimes we have signs up, and we just say, "What is love to you? What is true joy? What does the name Jesus mean to you?" We ask them these questions, and we find a way to connect them to the gospel, and we tell them about Jesus. Sometimes we even stand up on the city bus and just start preaching. That's scary, and it's hard. But when Jesus died, he didn't say, "Go and hide from the secular world." He said, "Go, preach the gospel, make disciples, and baptize people." And those uncomfortable situations that I was in and that you will be in if you decide to step out and start telling people about Jesus, they make you grow. I'm sure that everyone in this room has had a situation where they were uncomfortable, but it made them grow. And I know that it's scary to talk to strangers or even people that you do know about Jesus or even things that are just controversial in this world. You stand there and you say, "Hey, this may seem weird, but I feel like God was telling me to tell you, and I don't know, I just got this image for you, and maybe I like felt like I was supposed to pray for you." That's hard. And no one wants to be that person, and it's awkward. But the reason that I want to do missions today is because if there is someone out there who needs a rescuer the same way that I did, I want to be able to say that I know a guy. So how do we do it? How do we step out and just tell people? I want to share a psalm with you today about a faithful person who's in danger because the enemy is trying to exploit their weaknesses. Psalm 71, 15 through 18 says, "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness and yours alone. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation and your power to all those to come." That's powerful. And our role in this psalm is to be that faithful person telling of the righteous acts that God has done for us. For us to acknowledge that God can do much more than we could ever understand, because it's a very real thing that we don't always see the bigger picture, but there is one happening. For us to remind others all the way from our youth to when our hair is gray and we turn old, and that, Dad, that does not exclude you. When we act upon sharing our stories with others, it builds to their platform of what God has already done for them. It helps them understand that they do not struggle alone in the things that they go through. So how do we step out into that boldness? We have to be the person like the psalm is talking about. We can't let fear and awkwardness control our lives, because those are the weaknesses the enemy is trying to shove in our face. We have to be someone who prays against those weaknesses and prays for boldness. And not just someone who prays for it, but actually steps out into it. The enemy wants to isolate us, because when we're isolated, we feel alone. We feel no one understands us. And then we want to stay there. But we have to stand against the enemy and say to others that you are not alone in this. And let me tell you how I've struggled through this, how I've been there. And let me tell you how my God rose above it all. You see, the enemy wants you to keep you all your pain in the dark, because in the dark, there is no room for growth. But when you bring your pain into the light, Jesus can transform it. When I shared my testimony with that girl, it was hard and it was painful. But I took my pain and I brought it into the light and I said, "Jesus, do with this what you want, because I know that you can." And in that moment, God taught me that my testimony, although painful to live through, was worth sharing. And now that girl understands that she's not alone in the burdens that she carries. And that is the power of testimony and how our weaknesses are not exploited like the person in the psalm is talking about. It's for us to openly stand up and say, "I am not alone in the burdens that I carry. You are not alone in the struggles that you face. We are not alone in everything that we go through. Because we have Christ Jesus on our side, we are never alone." This series is called Closet Christians. And Anthony talked a lot about what that means and what that doesn't mean. But for me, I think about this and I think someone who is saying, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." But they're behind a closed door in a room where no one can see them and no one can hear them. "But yeah, Lord, I'm still a Christian, just like where no one can see me." There's a whole world that God wants to show you, but he can't show you if you're stuck in this box. And you are the one keeping yourself from going deeper with God. And sharing your testimony allows for deeper relationship with God and with others. Revelation 3:16, it says, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." God does not want you half in. He wants you all in. Don't miss an opportunity for you to share your story. Because every day, it continues. God still wants to use you, but he wants to use you for your full purpose and not half. How can God trust you with the big things if he can't even trust you with the little ones? How can God ask me to move all the way across the world like I want to if I can't even preach on the streets that I live in? We have to share our testimony, share how God worked in our lives. Watch, talk about the transformation that he made, and watch how he'll transform it again. Your testimony is powerful, and it is worth sharing. And I want to pray with you, and then I will give the microphone over to Anthony. Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your active pursuit and relationship with us every day. Thank you that you gave us a story to tell. Thank you that because you are on our side, we will never fail. Jesus, today I ask that every one of us in this room will always be able to recognize that we are not weak. We are not helpless. We are not too scared to do anything because we have you on our side. God, today I pray for boldness in each and every person in this room. I pray for divine opportunity for us to go out and tell people about you. Jesus, thank you for who you are and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Allie. She did an amazing job, didn't she? An amazing story of how God can transform someone and use that transformation to transform and change others. Join us these next couple weeks, the whole month of October. We're going to be looking at this idea, closet Christian, hiding our faith in our closets when instead we've not been called to hide, we've not been called to fit in, we've been called to stand out and to step up into this world and make a difference. And so next week again, our friend Nathan Weber, he's going to be here sharing with you about how prayer can be a way that we can live our faith publicly, boldly, and vocally in the open and in the light. I'll be talking about the name of Jesus and how that plays in to keeping our faith out of the closet, and we'll wrap this up at the end of October with a look at how do we live out our purposes outside of the places we hide in. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward.